I have on the phone with me my guest, Professor Albert Nakash, an old friend I met in Berkeley back before Israel's 1982 invasion of Lebanon, when he was getting his PhD at the University of California. He's currently teaching at Lebanese University in Beirut. Welcome, Albert, to Takes on the World.
Hi, Zephy. Nice to be on your show.
I'm glad to have you back again. Glad to hear your voice again, and with my many fond memories also of you and Tina and Beirut.
In Beirut and in Berkeley.
And in Berkeley, yes, in Berkeley, of course, yes. Well, we are entering the third week of Israel's latest assault on the people of Lebanon. Many who experienced it there before. What is the mood there now at the moment?
Lebanon is a small country, but still 4 million people. I cannot really judge the mood of the whole nation. The thing it reminded me was the student protest in 68. All the young people I'm seeing are really packed up and doing relief work and doing staging protests and organizing and reaching out and discussions go on forever. It's an exhilarating mood, you know, in a sense.
Now, Israel, of course, it turns out, has had a plan to attack Lebanon, which has been widely published in the U.S. media for well over a year, and that they were looking for some kind of pretext. It even seems that there are some reports that Lebanese police said that the Israeli soldiers were not, in fact, captured in Israeli territory, but were taken in Lebanese territory. Is there any discussion about that?
I don't know about the. I can tell you my take on it.
Yes.
You said the Israeli had plans. I don't think the Israeli are nothing, I think. It's the American who has the plan. It's the American, Condoleezza Rice today was really, really in a tight spot. They want the Israeli to crush Hezbollah, and it's clear now that it is not going to happen. I saw her at 4 o'clock my time in Rome, standing next to Senoura, the Lebanese prime minister. She had, you could barely see her lips, she was so much, so tight. I don't know if I told you, not only, I have heard that from other analysts in Lebanon. The American wanted to test the weapon that Iran had provided Hezbollah in preparation for an attack on Iran. And my interpretation today is Rice doesn't want to ceasefire before seeing the two more steps that Hezbollah has threatened to take. They haven't shown their weapons yet. The American-Israeli invasion bombed us with nearly everything they had except the atomic bomb. And Hezbollah still has two levels that he hasn't...
Well, it's interesting. I know that Nasrallah has said that they have not used their weaponry, and it seems that the mighty Israeli elite IDF has had many more problems with Hezbollah than they anticipated.
They're mighty in their dreams only. I one interview in The Time, the British journal, the only thing I could find in the last 3 days about the murder of the Israeli troops. There was the brother of a 19-year-old brother of a soldier in the hospital, and the brother was complaining. He said, hey, my brother got hit. He was not supposed to get hit in the army. The Israeli fight are used to kill unarmed Palestinian young girls, or fighting barely armed Palestinian on their ground, on Lebanese soil, that they had 6 years' time to prepare. Are a totally different kettle, and the Israeli soldier is not up to the task at all.
Well, it should have been obvious that Hezbollah, after actually defeating, being the only Arab force to defeat Israel and cause it to retreat without any support from the international community, it should be noted, including the international so-called left or anti-war movement, would have improved its fighting capacity, whereas in fact the Israeli soldiers spent most of their time humiliating and harassing Palestinian civilians, which is not conducive to being a strong military force. And in fact,
exactly.
there were comments from Israeli soldiers who were scheduled to go to Lebanon saying, why didn't Israel exchange, do a prisoner exchange for two captured prisoners? they've now lost, admittedly, more than two dozen lives of Israeli soldiers. That's what they admit. So it seems that they have got more than they bargained for, and now in a difficult position of not being able to. They're talking about another strip, this time of a mile. What was the reaction to that in Beirut?
Another what?
Another strip of land, of occupied, another buffer zone. I mean, we had a buffer zone in 1978, right? That invasion was not even, is it not even talked about anymore when they...
Jeffrey, they are ridiculous. The strip means the 60-kilometer length of the border. Now, they tried on 2-kilometer wide, not 60, out of 60. They were barely able to enter 5 kilometers. They would have to take... they took one village, Marun al-Ras, and they are stuck at the second village, 3 miles from on one point. They want to take the whole length. There are a dozen more villages like that, at least. And then, even if they do that, they would be sitting ducks for a villa. It's a resistance. It's a popular resistance. In fact, you should try to forget the name Hezbollah. The name Hezbollah is so much associated with it, terrorists, Islamic radicals, whatever. In fact, it is a genuine, and the last few days are proof, it's a genuine popular resistance. The whole people of the South is Hezbollah. Now, if it happens that the Israeli had raided kept 20 years the southern border, which is inhabited by Shia, so the popular resistance has a very strong Shia color. If they had occupied more of it, resistance with the Sunni in Faida, with the Druze in the Shuf, with the Christian in the Matan, wherever they would have occupied, you would have had the same kind of resistance. It's a popular resistance to an occupying, invading army.
Well,
what the faith gave the Hezbollah fighter is a discipline.
Well, it's interesting the way that the Israelis have tried to repeat themselves in using the collective punishment and what I described before I called you, a sort of sadism that has been an elementary part of the Israeli existence in terms of dealing with Palestinians and Lebanese. They drop leaflets over southern Lebanon telling people to leave the villages and go north, and then they
stay. You know why they do that? It's to cover their ass with the Geneva Convention, because then in the trial that will be conducted after the war for war crimes, hey, look, we spared the civilian, we told them to evacuate. This is a tactic for this purpose. They can say after, and I read it even today in the ED press, or maybe a report you send me, one of the IAF, Israeli attack forces spokesman, Israeli aggression forces spokesman, said, we are not hitting civilian, we send them leaflet before to evacuate.
That's
I forgot
right.
What I wanted to say.
Before we bomb and destroy their villages. It seems that they really haven't learned their lesson. It was interesting that Israel's pride and joy, dependent as they are for U.S. Missiles, for U.S. helicopters, U.S. fighter jets, Israel had developed its own tank, the Merkava. And this was one of the great tanks of the world. They probably hoped to sell many around the world. The first time one went across the border went 30 feet before being blown up. And
they have already lost a dozen. The latest generation.
It's interesting.
Hassan Nasrallah said yesterday.
Well, the Israeli,
apparently, there is a strange inversion of discourse. The objective, realistic, calm assessment is provided by an Arab, while the gesticulation, the threats, the lies, the misdirection are the fact of an Occidental leader, Olmert or the Israeli army.
Well,
I want to go back to one point.
Yeah, sure.
You always point to the if it's the American. It's the same mistake the American made in Iraq. And they think that the total technological and aerial superiority allows them to control people on the ground, which is, in military term, heretical thinking. You need foot soldiers. Neither the American nor the Israeli are ready to lose foot soldiers. When you fight a people on the people's ground, there is no other alternative than to put the man in front of the man.
Israel doesn't really want to do, but they're going to be obligated to do it. They can't. They, for their own national psyche, another defeat by Hezbollah would be a humiliation that they couldn't bear. Do you think the world would fail?
There is no other outcome.
Yeah.
They will be forced now. The Lebanese will not accept anything less than total solution with the application of the United Nations, with the rights of the Palestinians. You spoke today, a peace between in the region means the rights of the Palestinian in Jordan, in Gaza, in Lebanon. The whole package has to be taken. The crazy, simplistic Bush and Condoleezza Rice thinking that to have a new Middle East you get rid of Hezbollah is patently absurd.
Well, what?
Now I get you one point.
Yes.
I think it is American strategy, but this American strategy is based on the thinking of many professors of Near Eastern studies. Now, my experience, you mentioned that we met when I was studying at Berkeley. My experience at Berkeley is that those Eastern specialists are Israeli or Zionist, and they despise us, so they cannot be objective about us. Their whole probably from 78 to 82 to 2000, they kept the South because they had a book knowledge of what the Shia are supposed to be. You know, they put them in, under a label in a box. Well, they proved, the Shia are Lebanese and proved to be very adaptable and very intelligent and able to act differently than expected from them.
Well, obviously they surprised not only the Americans and these professors, but they've also surprised and disturbed some of the rulers in the Arab regimes who are puppets of the U.S., who have now found their initial support of the U.S. position becoming rather awkward.
Becoming impossible. You heard what the king of the Saudi king said today?
No, I hadn't heard.
It's a 180 degrees. He said if it goes on, there is a big chance of a war. He cannot threaten, but he put it in the language he can use, and that they won't sit silent for that. They sent us already $1.5 billion in to support the economy, the Lebanese economy, and they're saying this has to stop. They change. They cannot. It's clear in the Arab world that it is a just war of resistance, and that it cannot be allowed to be defeated. Now, the poor Israeli suits of the American, we use them to find out what the Union has as arms. Yesterday, Shimon Peres declared it's either Hezbollah or us.
Uh-oh.
If they were fighting Hezbollah in Israel, they would win easily. It would take them 5 minutes. But they're fighting the Lebanese resistance in Lebanon. And the Lebanese are going to win.
Well, it's interesting that you're saying that you're thinking the Americans, since they're using Israel in Lebanon, but of course,
yeah.
Israel had designs on Lebanon, particularly the water of the Tani River, even before at the time of the Balfour Declaration. And so Israel, of course, tried in 1982 to set up its own friendly government with Amin Jamael, or Bashir Jamael, whose assassination led to the supposedly the massacre of Sabra and Shatila. Obviously, Israel has its own plans and designs on Lebanon.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think mention the territorial or water hydraulic ambition of Israel in Lebanon are marginal. Their main problem with Lebanon is Lebanon is a model of multi-confessional coexistence, multi-confessional, multi-cultural coexistence, which is the exact opposite of what the Israeli state is. As a model of nation, we show what could be instead of the racist one religion state of Israel. And if you remember the Moshe Shayed Ben-Gurion plan of dividing Lebanon.
That's a correct one. The Moshe Shayed's diary.
What they have been playing. They always try to play one community against the other in Lebanon. But they haven't been reading. The agents on the ground were not good enough. I'm sorry.
It seems like there will be no resolution to the situation unless there is a resolution to the Palestinian problem that Israel, if it's going to exist at all, with its basis as a European settler colonial state in, as a foreign element in the region, which I see is actually the core of the problem, the desire to dominate the region. And I don't see that changing.
Well, they learned their lesson on the ground. They cannot achieve the aims they went to war for this time.
By the way,
our Prime Minister befriended an Israeli journalist who asked him a question today in Rome. He reminded her that Israel had invaded 7 times Lebanon in the last 30 years. And he told her, if you want that your children to grow up in peace, you have to make peace with your neighbors. You cannot dominate them. By trying to dominate them, you will never achieve peace. Now this is what Senyuria say. What I say in a separately, the Israeli government today were the first time formed by people who have not gone to the military. So they wanted to pick up a model from a glorious military predecessor, and they chose Moshe Dayan. When in doubt, act like a mad dog to frighten your neighbor. And this is what they tried to do. But on the ground in Lebanon, they are poodles. They are mad poodles. They're frightening. In the air, they're going to hit us. Tina reminds me. In the air, they hit us and they might nuke us, but that won't change anything. Like Tina says, if they nuke us and kill the 4 million Lebanese, they won't take Lebanon. Our children will come back to take Lebanon. But I doubt that the world will allow them to keep on their barbaric aerial bombardment. The American wants them to keep on, but not on all of Lebanon.
Well, it's the plan that I read. It had a very carefully detailed...
Tina is not...
I hear Tina in the background, yes.
Tina is saying I'm too optimistic that the small minds and stubbornness of the American government might mean that they will drop Senyura and bomb us all to the Stone Age. It's a possibility. I don't deny it. But I don't see it as happening. There is internet, there is a civilized world, the picture of Lebanese civilian being massacred circulates.
We didn't have
you remember in 82, yes. The first week, yes, of the Israeli invasion, what are the numbers of Lebanese civilians that were massacred? Some of them run over by Israeli things. Do you remember the numbers?
Well, within 3 weeks, 17,000 people. And, yes. And actually, an Israeli writer wrote about that just 2 days ago in the Haaretz, and he said conservatively 14,000, but in 3 weeks. And we didn't have the internet, we didn't have the kind of coverage we have. And of course, Israel went in without any opposition because the Palestinian Liberation Organization really wasn't a fighting organization.
And, no. And they went on their ground. They were, the this difference between, look how even the unarmed, much less armed than the PLO, the Hamas, they're much less armed than the PLO.
Yes.
But on their land, they're able to resist and fight.
Yes. So it's interesting that now Iraq, Lebanon may turn out to be the U.S.'s Iraq, because even with the censorship, the strong censorship of every article any journalist sends out of Israel, the stories by the Israeli in the Israeli press indicate that so far their attack on Hezbollah has been a major setback.
Yeah, they had to admit yesterday, they said they took Bint Jbeil. Today they had to admit they hadn't.
Yes.
Yesterday, Marcella said they killed 10 Israeli. They denied it. Today they admit maybe a dozen or more dead, not counting the wounded. Yes?
Well, they actually lied about the number of dead from the Lebanon situation. They claimed that there were 600 Israelis who died in the whole 22 years or 18 years of the, after the Lebanon invasion of 82,
yes, but 600 and something.
But,
yes.
But actually, I saw another figure that that Israel government had paid 1,000 death benefits. So where did the other 400 Israeli soldiers die? This international plan, a so-called plan to put an international force on the ground, a fighting force, doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Well, what do people think about that in Lebanon?
So my analysis is that it's a no-brainer, it's a no. They won't accept it. Lebanese, Hezbollah is not ready at all. They're not even discussing it. It's rejected out of hand. Just solution. Now, all the Lebanese wanted just solution. We won't accept to have an international force coming to disarm the Lebanese resistance. If somebody needs to be disarmed, it's the mad dog, not the guy who's protecting himself from the attack of the mad dog. Now, the American wants that too, at Hezbollah. But they should come themselves. Why to martyrize the poor Israeli by sending them to do that dirty job? We have no problem of most of the people who live in Israel. I personally I think that the million who came from Russia for as a stepping stone to go to the Western world should go to America, and the crazies from Brooklyn and should go back to Brooklyn. But we can live with the Israeli, we can live with all kinds of Jews, from Natura Karta to the Orthodox to the non-religious Jews. The problem is with Zionism. Let them say, those who want to say here, they have been somewhere born here, and that's okay. The problem is you cannot have a Zionist refusing to give any rights to the native population and wanting to frighten the neighbors. Now, the neighbors are not going to take it ever. If they keep on, Jeffrey, what's going to prevent the Palestinian in Jordan to think, aha, but we can do like Nasrallah?
That's right. Each time it gets hot, it gets the escalation grows. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. In 1937, Winston Churchill said that a terrible wrong has been done to the Jewish people. But if you take it out of land and the lives of the Palestinian Arabs, you will create a festering sore in the Middle East that will not go away. And so there only some solution must be done, as you keep telling us, for the Palestinians to solve this problem.
Yes, thank you, caller. The caller is quoting Winston Churchill, said that putting a Jewish state there in the Middle East will cause a festering problem in the region, and actually a number of Jewish anti-Zionists, who are actually the majority, predicted the same thing as almost 100 years ago.
I would say maybe not a Jewish state, a Zionist state. I forgot the name of the famous Jewish philosopher. He has a museum.
Judah Magnus.
Judas Magnus.
Yes.
A bi-national state in 37 would have been a viable option, I think. Look, Lebanon has always been a refuge for persecuted community everywhere. Palestine also. We can understand that there were persecution and people had to find a home. That's something. But come and impose a European state here is not going to work on the long run. We have Armenians living in Lebanon, prosperous community, 300 or 400,000 Armenians. They consider Lebanon as the second Armenia. It could have very well happened, and with the diversity of the Jewish communities, some speaking Yiddish, some speaking Ladino, some speaking English, some speaking Russian, some whatever. Now, they took all those people, have them lose their identity, try to mold something new, and claiming that it's that 3,000 years root, what it doesn't have them. And they wanted to impose themselves by force on their neighbors and on the native inhabitants. This is the problem.
That's what I mentioned actually earlier, that Ben-Gurion wanted to throw out the years of Jewish tradition, intellectual pursuits, and create a new Jew. Albert, I want to thank you very much for being back on Takes of the World and sharing your thoughts on this ongoing situation.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
I think I hope my listeners also appreciate hearing your thoughts on this from somebody on the spot there. My heart goes out because I have a great fondness for Lebanon.
Not for me, but for the suffering people, 800,000 displaced persons.
Again.
Many of them have lost their homes with the photographs, the small personal items that they treasured. All this has been gone. Children are suffering, sleeping on the ground in schools. And for what?
For what? Good question. We'll end there. Albert and Akash, thank you very much for being our guest. Give my love to Peter.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey.
And keep struggling. Take care.